grab your Bibles and go ahead and turn over to the book of Philippians. And I'm going to talk for a minute, if that's all right. I was talking, actually, just beforehand, and apparently there's a time limit on services now that I was informed of. So I'll ask you guys, do you want the two-point sermon or the four-point sermon? Yes, I heard yes. All right. Although the bright side, it doesn't actually matter. They're the same sermon. They're just kind of structured a little differently. So it'd be good either way. But no, I love getting the opportunity to speak because it means someone has to listen to me while I rant. And I rant to myself a lot, and that seems to be where some of these messages that get in my head. And so I always pray that it's not just me whining about something, it's not just something that's kind of stuck in my craw, but that it's something that reflects the Word of God. And so that's my prayer tonight, is that somewhere in what's been on my mind and on my heart is that we'll truly bring that out of God's Word. And I'm grateful to get to speak today because we're close enough to the beginning of the year that I can ask you guys, how many of you have New Year's resolutions? Like two. Y'all aren't New Year's resolution people? No. Okay, this might be fun. I'm actually not either. I've never really seen the point. I didn't understand what New Year's resolutions were about. But in a little bit of reading, you know, it's just that extra push to get you going towards your goals. If you start it at the start, it just feels right. I was reading that a lot of people, if you start something on either a Sunday or a Monday, you're more likely to follow through with it. If you forget Sunday or you forget Monday, by the time, you know, even if it's Tuesday, Wednesday rolls around, you're like, we'll just put it off till the next week. We'll start the next week, right? And it just never happens. All right, so if none of y'all are New Year's resolutions people, let me ask you, don't raise your hands for this. Do you at least have goals? Do you have things that you aspire to? Right? And looking through, a lot of times people say, you know, they want to lose weight. Right? And I'm with them. They want to save money. I've seen a lot of those things that shared around, you know, I'm going to put away $1 this week and $2 next week and $4 the week after that. And it's going to build until the end of the year. I've saved up, you know, like $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, whatever it was they were planning on. Right? Or some people, you know, you want to quit a bad habit. All right? But it's the desired outcome that you have for your life. Or it could be a promotion at work or a raise, or people have goals for their relationships, where they want to see them and their spouses or their boyfriends and girlfriends or their friends and family, where you want to see yourselves go, where you want to progress to. Right? Nobody wants to stay the same. Or I hope you don't want to stay the same. Because you're not dead yet. Right? Right? But I got to thinking about all these things that we put in our mind of where we want to be, and I wonder how many of us make the same goals in our spiritual lives. We can look at our lives, we can look at our jobs and our work, and we say, I want to be further along in the next year or so. We can look at our families and say, I want to be further along in, you know, before next Christmas. I want to be somewhere else other than where I'm at. And we can kind of say that in general a lot of times with our spiritual life. I know I need to grow. I know I need to mature. But do we set goals for our spiritual life? Do we have somewhere in mind? Do we have a desired outcome? And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And if I was going to give this a title, and we were talking, it'd be hashtag spiritual goals. All right? And so I want you guys to be thinking about your spiritual goals as we talk tonight. If you've got your Bible in the book of Philippians, turn to chapter 3 and stand with me as we read from God's Word, would you? In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12, Paul tells us, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Would y'all pray with me, please? Father God, we come to you again, and so grateful for your word. So grateful that you cared enough for us, that you wanted us to know your heart, that you wanted us to have direction in our life, that you would give us everything we need to live a life that serves you, God. I pray tonight that the words, that the ideas that I share, that they're not just musings that I've had, but that they accurately and truly reflect your heart and your word. God, we love you for Jesus. We love you for the life that we have in him, for the abundant life that we have in him. We love you for the family that we have with you, God. We praise you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can sit down. All right, but goals. Paul had goals, right? Paul had goals in his life. He had places he wanted to be. He had places he wanted to go. We can find out elsewhere that one of his goals was to go to Rome. And eventually he got that. But I love this verse, and I've probably used this in several lessons over the years, and I don't know that I've ever used it for the same lesson, which is just really awesome in the Word of God, that God knew what he was doing, right? But the first thing that I look here is Paul recognizes his shortcomings, right? The Apostle Paul, who wrote several of the books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who learned from God himself, the Apostle Paul, who went around planting churches all across Greece and Europe there. The Apostle Paul knew he wasn't finished growing. And that's weird for me to think about, because I think of Paul as being, you know, that's one of the authors of the Bible, but it's not Paul's authorship, it's God's authorship. Or I'll even think of people that I know. I can think of my granny, right? And I could talk to my granny, and she could tell me if she was working on learning a skill or a spiritual discipline. She wanted to do better in some area of her life, but I could not fathom something that my granny was not good at. I could not fathom something in spiritual life that my granny was not good at. Right? And some of us will do this with our pastors or our teachers. We look at them as, you know, that's the spiritual guy or girl. That's someone who's got it together. But even Paul said, I don't claim to have got there yet. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He knew he could improve. He knew that he wanted to be closer to God. He wanted to draw closer to Christ. And so the first thing I want to do tonight, I want to ask you guys to consider yourselves. To look at your life. And to not just say, yes, I need to draw closer to God. But to be a little bit more specific than that. If I can ask you to do that. To assess your life. To see what is it that you are deficient in. Where is it that you find yourself coming up short with God? For me, I'll tell you, I was talking to Doug before we got started. I do not have a strong prayer life. I don't, and I wish I did. I know it's important, it's foundational. Before we make any decisions, we should talk to God about it. And I know this. And you could say, oh, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you should talk to God. I know this, right? It's saturated throughout Scripture. People who were close to God talked to God. I know this, and I'm still bad at it. I find myself getting caught in the trap of, well, if I tell him more than once, does that show a lack of faith on my part? If I ask for the same thing again and again, does that not, if I really had faith that God was going to hear my prayer and act on my prayer, would I not just say it the one time? But then you look in Scripture, and you see that there are plenty of times where people would pray for the same thing and pray repeatedly, and we have the Scripture that says, the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But what is fervent prayer and what is the vain babbling? Because we don't babble as the heathens do who think they'll be heard through much speaking. And I get in circles in my head. My head's not always a fun place to be. And so even the things that I know I should do, I can find an excuse or I can find a distraction. Anything can be a distraction. And I fail at it. I could go days and realize the only time I prayed was that one time in the car when I got cut off and didn't have a wreck, and I said, oh, thank God. And if that's where I stay, then I'm failing on my part of the relationship. Right? God doesn't fail on His part. But if I look at my life and I see where I can improve and I say, yeah, but it's hard, then I'm not living up to my end. I like the way the psalmist put it. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 4, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist wanted to not be stuck in his sin. Wanted to not be stuck in his shortcomings. He didn't want to sweep it under the rug. He didn't want to say, yeah, that's not the worst one in the world. It's okay. He said, no. God, look at me. Look at me. Look through me. Find it. Whatever it is, let me know what it is. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Help me fix it. Get me out of it. Move me away from it. If it's prayer, Lord, help me to turn to you with prayer. If it's Bible study, God, help me to develop a love and a passion for your word. If it's witnessing, Lord, don't give me rest until I've talked to the people around me to see whether or not they know Jesus. Whatever it is, he said, find it. Find it in me. Because if you don't look, you won't find anything. It's really easy to gloss over our faults sometimes. It's really easy to see your faults, but to see someone else's faults too. And at least my faults aren't their faults. Because if my faults were their faults, that would be a bad day. My faults are just, you know, they're bad, but they're not. We can deal with them later. That's not how it works. That's not what we're called to. We're called to something better. We're called to a high calling in Christ. So look at yourselves. Find what you can improve on. And I remember reading some time ago, one individual said, "Don't look at your mediocre. Look at your good and make it great, and let the mediocre just kind of fall away. That might work in other areas, but that doesn't work in the Christian life. I can't say that I'm the world's best Bible scholar. I just never talked to Jesus. I can't say, man, I am a prayer warrior. I just never tell anybody about him. You can't pick and choose the commands of God that you want to follow. We have to be serious about our relationship with Jesus or not. If we love Him, we want to pursue Him. And sometimes that gets uncomfortable. But the reward, the relationship, is most certainly worth it. So, assess yourself. Examine yourself. Find where you need to improve, and then mark it down. Go ahead and write it down. This is why, one reason I was talking about New Year's resolutions and goals, is everybody makes them. Apparently everybody except for the people in this church. But lots of people will make goals or resolutions and then nothing. What did they say? That January and February are like top-notch months for gyms, and then March and April and May, it just kind of goes downhill. People forget. People decide they don't really care enough to put in the work. But if you're going to set a goal, if you're going to look for a goal, actually set the goal. Right? It's not this idea of, I want to be more spiritual. I want to be better. Because maturity in Christ is not an accident. You don't wake up one morning and, oh, you fell into being an amazing person. You woke up one day and realized, I can talk to everybody about Jesus. I know everything in Scripture. Suddenly I have the whole book memorized. It doesn't work that way. Relationships take work. Our relationship with Jesus takes work. I found this quote that I thought was really nice. Says, if you leave your growth to randomness, you'll always live in the land of mediocrity. If you leave your growth to randomness, you'll always live in the land of mediocrity. Anybody here aspire to be mediocre? No. You want to do well. You want to excel at your job, at your hobbies, and your relationships. I think it was Ken was telling us one time in college. That, you know, wanted to be great at something. Wanted to be great at one of his hobbies. He said, I got to thinking about it and said, if I could be great at anything, shouldn't I be great at being a Christian? If I want to aspire to be, you know, one of the world's top whatever, isn't the best category to choose? I want to be one of the most revered and memorable Christians. Not because I want the title, not because I want the recognition, but because what it takes to be there means that I have set my sights on Christ and I have gone after Him. Wouldn't it be great to not be mediocre to God? Right? And I think that's what people talk about. What people mean a lot of times. You talk about hypocrites. That's what people will attack their doubts in God by attacking His people and calling them hypocrites. And I think that's what they mean. We're mediocre in the way we follow Christ. We pray sometimes before meals, you know, at grandma's house. You know, we'll read the Bible when I remember, and maybe if I have to, you know, talk about a lesson in Sunday school. I don't want to be the only guy that doesn't have something to say, right? Or I'll live out God's law and God's principles when it's on my mind, when I think about it. Because that's how we live our life. That's how I kind of think of people. And myself included, plenty of times, that come to church on Sunday hoping that that's going to solve their problems, hoping that that's going to get them close to Jesus. I'm not saying don't come to church on Sunday. I'm glad you guys are here tonight. But as you've probably heard, if today, if this right here is the only time you seek God, you're missing it. You're missing it. It takes a plan. It takes purpose. It takes intention. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul had discipline. Paul had a place he wanted to go. I think he had it planned out, what he needed to do, what he needed to keep in mind. He didn't want to tell people, these are the laws of God, these are what we follow, because this is what God has declared as right, and then forgot about them and moved on with his life. No, he said, no, I've got to keep these things in mind. I've got to do something so that I remember the Word of God. and I'm following after it. I don't want to tell someone, you should listen to God, and that's for you, that's not for me. He worked at it. He wanted to be able to put it into action. All right? And so I have an idea for you guys. You've got a guest card in front of you. If you would like, what I want you to do is I ask you to think about your spiritual goals. I want you to take your guest card. I want you to write it down. I want you to write down on your guest card, I wish I had mine, or if you've got your bulletin, I need a better prayer life. That's mine. I need to work on my prayer life. All right. Write it down so that you know what it is. And I want you to tell somebody. I want you to let other people know. Right? These things work for setting goals in everything else. We should apply these principles to our spiritual life. Set a goal. Something you want to improve. Tell someone. Someone to keep you accountable. Right? Proverbs put it this way. He said, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. If you want to get better, work with somebody. Work with one of your Christian brothers, one of your Christian sisters. Have someone who's going to ask you. You said you were going to read more. Did you read? Did you? Have someone who's going to ask you. You said you wanted to pray more. Have you prayed? Yes? No? Have someone who will hold your feet to the fire. Who will ask you the hard question. Yes or no? Did you? Because as odd as it sounds to me, it's harder to tell someone face to face that you failed than it is to face God and tell Him that you failed. I don't understand it, but that seems to be how we work. And I think that's why God gave us one another. That's why God gave us our church family. Because He knew that there would be times when He seemed distant and hard to approach. But if we had family we could see, if we had brothers and sisters, then we could go to them. And they could act as His body. So write your goal down. Let someone know. And figure out how to get there. It's always easy to say, I should pray more. I've narrowed it down to a goal. I can tell you that I want to pray more. But if I don't figure out how to accomplish that goal, it's not going to take me anywhere. If I can't figure out where I can be alone with God, I'm not going to do it. I can recognize that it's important, but if I don't know how to do it, I'm not going to. So now that you have a goal set in your mind, maybe even a goal set on paper, and someone else who knows your goal, who's going to ask you if you've been following after it, find how you progress. How do I read the Bible? How do I study the Bible? You need study materials? I can get you some study materials. You need questions to ask? I've known people that have said, I'll read the Bible and I don't know. It's there it is and there it was. I don't know. I can find you some questions to ask. Ask yourself. Brother Doug can find you some questions to ask yourself as you read. All right? Or I like the way Paul put that in verse 14. I press toward the call, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't think this is actually what he meant, but I got to musing on it. Upward, it means above. I got to think it's a progressive thing. I think he meant the call is heavenly, it's from God. But I was thinking it's not something that's instantaneous. Our maturity isn't automatic. It's something we work at. And it's something we have to have planned for. And lastly, get someone to help. Ecclesiastes put it this way, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We need help. Do you need help? Yeah. Brother David needs help. Yes, we need help. It's easy to say in some areas, but we need accountability. We need coaches. We need teachers. People who progress in life don't do it on their own. People who move forward in their jobs, they don't usually do it on their own. They have someone showing them, someone asking them, someone telling them, this is what I need from you. Right? People who progress in sports, they have coaches. People who progress in the gym, they have someone helping them, showing them, don't do it that way. You're going to hurt yourself. Right? Do it this way. If you want to get better, this is the pattern you need. You have someone who's been there, someone who's done it. To do it, maybe. I will give you a maybe. Maybe you can do it alone. But it will be so much harder and it will take so much longer than if you just went to someone and said, hey, you're good at that. How are you good at that? And then they can tell you. They can help you. They can share the struggles that they've been through. And the questions that they had to ask along the way. I love anytime there's any kind of group teaching. Almost every time the teacher says, if you have a question, go ahead and ask. Because 9 times out of 10, someone else wants to ask. They just don't want to say it. So go ahead and ask somebody. And I know what you think, because I didn't want to say I'm bad at prayer. Because that just feels weird to say. I'm bad at praying. Let me get up in front of you and talk to you about the Bible. I'm bad at praying. Something doesn't seem to fit about that. But if I don't tell someone that I'm bad at it, I can't get better. So I guess that's the question. Is it worth it to you to feel uncomfortable in order to be closer to God? Because at the end of the day, part of that getting closer to God, there's going to be a whole lot of discomfort anyway. The growth process is going to have a whole lot of discomfort. You might as well start now. And that's the other reason I wanted you to write it down. If you chose to write down a goal, and you don't want to tell it to anybody, you don't want to say it out loud because it's hard. I tell you what, y'all make me stand at the back. It's the most awkward thing on the planet. Anyway, stand at the back afterward. If you want someone and you don't want to ask, write it down and hand it to me. I'll pray for you. That'll be my step toward praying more. I'll pray for you. I need your help. I need someone to pray for. Go ahead and tell me what your goal is. You'll help me out, and I'll ask you if you're going through with it. All right? But you've got to find where you need to improve. You've got to figure out how you're going to improve, and you've got to have someone along to help you. All right? Now, I tell you, if you want to improve, but you have no idea where to start, my first question for you is, have you started? Because all of the spiritual disciplines in the world don't mean anything if you don't know Jesus. Right? If you don't have that relationship started with Christ, then it doesn't matter how often you pray. It doesn't matter how often you read your Bible. I don't know that you would be telling anybody else about Jesus if you don't have him. But it doesn't matter how often you come to church. It doesn't matter how nice of a person you are. It drives me insane when I hear people say that all religions are the same. They just want you to be a good person. No. We certainly want you to be a good person, a moral person, a godly person. But you cannot be godly unless you put your faith in God. And you cannot trust God. You cannot truly seek after God without Jesus. So that's the start. Do you know Jesus? If you don't, let's talk. You can come up. We're going to have a verse of invitation here in a minute. And I'd love to tell you about Jesus. I'd love to talk to you. Brother Doug, Kelly, Ken, any of us love to talk to you. And if you have trusted Christ, if we are family, if we are together a part of God's family, consider your needs, your spiritual needs. And what moves can you begin making tonight? Not tomorrow. If it's tomorrow, it'll be Tuesday. And if it's Tuesday, it'll be next week. But tonight, what steps can you take toward God? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you again. And of course, grateful for Christ. But God, I want to apologize for myself for so many ways that I fail. The areas of my life that I've willfully neglected and the areas of my life that I've ignored and the detriment that is caused in our relationship, I am sorry. And as sure as I say I am sorry, I am grateful for your word. I am grateful for the promise of forgiveness that you give. That because of your son, because of his blood, that you take care of it. God, I am grateful for Jesus. I'm so grateful for his sacrifice and for his resurrection. God, I pray for this invitation. If there's an individual that needs to know you, I pray that they come forward. If there is someone who needs to take steps in faith, I pray that they would come forward, God. I pray for my church family that they would grow in you and grow for you, that we as a church would serve you and love you and reach people for you. We are so grateful that you are God and you are in control. Pray this in Christ's name.